Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. I want to take this episode to discuss the work management cycle, which is the heart and soul of the maintenance plan scheduling process. The work management cycle ensures work is planned, scheduled, and the results are taken and used to improve the job plans as part of the knowledge management system and procedure-based maintenance, which we previously discussed. This work management cycle is the basis of any maintenance plan scheduling program. Adherence to the work management process can be difficult. This is why so many maintenance plan scheduling programs fail, is they don't stick to the work management cycle or work management process. It's vitally important that that process is adhered to for this to be successful. So, what is the work management cycle? Well, it can be broken down into seven unique steps. First is, work is identified and evaluated. The second, work is prioritized. The third, work is planned. Fourth, work is placed in the backlog. Fifth, work is scheduled. Sixth, work is executed, closed, and documented. And lastly, seven, and almost most importantly, feedback is used to improve the performance of the work management cycle and existing job plans. These seven steps are absolutely critical to managing your maintenance plan and scheduling program. Adhering to them can be very, very difficult. Sometimes you may not be getting the maintenance requests on time. Sometimes they might not be prioritized correctly. There's a variety of things that come into play in adhering to this cycle, but it's vitally important that you do. Over the next little bit, I'm going to deep dive each of these steps in the work management cycle. With an understanding of these, you might be able to identify some improvements you can make in your own maintenance plan and scheduling program to ensure it's delivering value that you need. So the first one, as mentioned, work is identified and evaluated. So what happens during this first step of the work management cycle? Well, it's one of the most important because it's during this step that all work is identified that needs to go through the planning scheduling process. By not properly identifying the work and vetting it, the planner can become misguided and lead the maintenance team in the wrong direction. So during this critical step, everyone is able to identify potential maintenance work. Don't limit it to just your maintenance staff or supervisors. Allow anyone to write a maintenance request. Maintenance request can be simple. This pump is making noise. It needs to be investigated. You can't just state, pump is broken, please fix. Identify what's really going on. Is it making noise? Is it overheating? Is it running intermittently? Is it cycling up and down? Those sorts of things. Provide that information to the maintenance team. Even if you don't know what needs to be done to correct it, it'll provide awareness to them so they're able to execute that work. Now, there are a few ways that this first step in the process fail. If you don't specify the requirements to submit the work request, the planner will generally waste a tremendous amount of time trying to define what the request is for. This takes time away from developing and improving job plans. So it's vitally important that we specify how a work request will be submitted. We also need to identify what specifically we want on that work request. It may be the equipment number, the name of the requester, the date, what is the priority that the requester believes that job needs to be addressed in, and then as much information as they can provide. Now, we don't expect operators to provide as much detailed information on a pump as, you know, a maintenance guy might provide, but they need to be able to provide some basic information. What is it doing? How is it not working? Is it making any noise? Does it feel different? So on and so forth. We want that information. Now, once the planner has all these requests with the required information and funneled in the correct way, they need to evaluate those quickly. First, they need to identify and see if there's any duplicates in the system. If these are duplicates, that's okay. If you're using a CMMS like SAP, for example, you can link multiple requests to a single work order. So go ahead and do that. This will ensure that the backlog doesn't grow rapidly, leading to work not being completed in a timely manner. If we can consolidate those duplicates, we'll be much more effective in managing our backlog overall. Also, the work requests need to be evaluated for technical applicability and fiscally applicability. If it is not, the planner can waste their time and their team's time by trying to complete work that will not be value added. Remember, the maintenance plan scheduling program is to support the business needs by being efficient with the effective work. This first step ensures that we are able to accomplish that goal. Once we've gone through and we've collected all these requests, we've evaluated them for duplicates, we've evaluated them for applicability, the next step is to prioritize them. This is another critical step and ensures that we're doing the right work at the right time. The saying goes, if everything is an emergency, nothing is. And that's 100% true with maintenance planning and scheduling, which is why it's so vitally important that we prioritize properly. Prioritization enables the maintenance department to separate the many from the vital few. This ensures the right work is completed at the right time, ensuring maximum value is provided to the site. A good prioritization system uses a decision tree or other rule-based approach to identify scheduling horizons when the work is received. This enables the building of a good scheduling system, which facilitates a long-range schedule. Typically, when you're evaluating these work requests, you're going to drop those work requests into one of the following buckets. Does it need to be completed immediately? Is it next week? Is it 4 weeks out? 16 weeks out? And that gives us an ability to prioritize our planning time as well. If we know this work is not due for 4 weeks and we have materials on site all times, then we don't need to plan it right away. We can plan on those other things that maybe are special jobs we don't have material information for or have long lead time parts and so on and so forth. Now, prioritization should not determine a specific day the work needs to be completed. It just identifies that specific scheduling horizon in which it should be completed in. Without prioritizing work into these horizons, the organization will continue to act on the urgent but not important work. The lack of proper prioritization is often a key enabler of a reactive organization. Now, moving on to the third step in the process, when we do the actual planning of work. Now that all the work's been prioritized, we know which ones we have to plan first. Now, the planning process is typically governed by five principles. The first principle is for the maintenance planners to focus on future work only. The planner's job is not to worry about breakdowns, emergencies, or storeroom work, but to focus exclusively on planning future work. Second principle is to use experience and history to develop job plans. This ensures that the jobs are efficiently and effectively planned, ensuring high wrench time. Once again, the best planner is typically an experienced craftsman who's worked in the industry for a long time and has that innate knowledge of how to complete jobs. This ensures we're able to develop really good job plans. And it's also using those existing job plans we already have as part of this continuous improvement loop. The third principle is to utilize feedback provided by the planning process in a continuous improvement loop and can only succeed with the help of the craftsman through feedback. Once again, that's getting the information on job plans, updating job plans, and feeding it back into the planning cycle. This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Fourth principle is to recognize the skill of the maintenance technicians, but the job plan still needs to include all technical data and a repeatable procedure to follow. We don't need to tell them how to weld. We need to tell them where we're doing the welding, to what specification, and allow them to do that. The fifth principle, wrench time is the primary measure of planning. The goal of planning the work is to improve the efficiency of the maintenance technicians. We measure how well we do that with the improvements in wrench time. Planning is developing the job plans so we can place it into the backlog, which is the next step. We place the planned, ready-to-schedule work in the backlog. Now, sometimes this is referred to as the black hole of maintenance. It's where work requests and planned jobs go after they're planned and they die. To avoid this perception, which a lot of operations people have, we need to manage the backlog effectively. Now, if we think about the definition of backlog, it's a reserve supply or source. You know, there's two types of backlog you'll typically find in industry. One is just a general backlog, and it's made up of all work orders, regardless of their status. They could be in planning, ready to schedule, waiting on parts, and so on and so forth. The next type is planned ready backlog, and that's made up of all work orders that are ready to schedule and have parts on site. We need to use the planned ready backlog to schedule effectively. There's many pieces of equipment on site and limited access as the equipment is running to produce product. So a large amount of work needs to be available based on what equipment is available to us. Typically, you want a backlog between 2 to 4 weeks of planned ready backlog to facilitate a good weekly schedule. Obviously, you're not going to have all equipment available at all times. Also, having that planned ready backlog available enables opportunistic maintenance, as there will always be work waiting to be accomplished in the event the equipment becomes available with minimum lead times. Now, once the work's in the backlog, we're going to start the scheduling process. So maintenance scheduling is the act of maximizing the utilization of resources while maximizing the effectiveness and efficiency of maintenance resources. Parkinson's law states that work expands so as to fill the time available for its completion. This is the reason why scheduling is so important. So let's use an example from a typical weekend you may have. On Friday night, before you go to bed, you make a list of all the things you want to accomplish on Saturday morning. You wake up, you go through that list and you get most of it done. Versus the other scenario. You wake up Saturday morning realizing you have some stuff to do, and maybe you do some stuff. You definitely didn't get nearly as much done as if you had that list ready to go. That's Parkinson's Law. If you have that goal set, you're more likely to achieve it than just to pick away at jobs which are going to expand to fill the time available. Now that we understand that, scheduling is essentially a goal setting process. It's what we want to accomplish this week, this day, so on and so forth. We want to schedule for 100% available time of our maintenance resources. Now, if I think of the scheduling process, there's five levels of scheduling. At the very top is the 52-week, which is based on the goals of the site and reoccurring PM workload. That then cascades down to the 16-week schedule, which is used to provide those tangible actions required to achieve those goals. Now, remember in the prioritization step, how we're putting those work requests into those large buckets? Well, there's the 16-week bucket. At the 4-week level, the short-term goals are placed in and ready to execute. That's where we're going to have a good, robust schedule to around 80% of our available time ready to go. Then we take down to the next level, which is the weekly level, where we have 100% of our maintenance time scheduled, ready to go. And that's where Parkinson's Law takes into effect. We're scheduling for that 100% of time to get the most amount done that we can. And then lastly, you have the daily schedule. If you're interested and you're attending the SMRP conference, I will be presenting a paper on the five levels of maintenance scheduling. I highly recommend that you attend this conference. It's a fantastic conference, great opportunity to network and learn tremendous amounts about maintenance and reliability. Now, once everything's been scheduled, the sixth step is to execute, close, and document the work. At this point, that weekly schedule is handed over to the maintenance supervisor. Typically, you're going to find that the maintenance planners or schedulers schedule to the week and allow the maintenance supervisors the ability to micro-schedule to the day or shift. This allows them to better manage the operational demands that they encounter. The maintenance supervisor is able to address any issues that arise with planned jobs and provides feedback to the planner. That way, the planner stays focused on future work, and that's vitally important. Once that work's been completed by the maintenance technicians and the maintenance supervisors, the work order needs to be closed out. Part of that closed out is including all feedback on that job plan. What was missed? What did we have extra of? What steps did we miss? So on and so forth. We're also going to record the amount of time spent, the parts that were used, and any failure coding we're collecting for our reliability engineering program. Then the maintenance supervisor needs to validate proper closeout and feedback and build the capabilities within his maintenance technicians to ensure that's done accurately and quickly. Now, some of the feedback that you might get from the maintenance technicians and the maintenance supervisors are the hours to complete the job, the parts used, any changes to the job plan, what issues did they encounter? Are there any updates to drawings or documentation that we need to make? They're also going to identify any follow-up work that may need to be completed. Maybe we're working on a pump and we noticed the pump beside it's vibrating like crazy or something of that nature. That's the type of feedback we need. And then lastly, the failure data. We want the failure modes, the object, damage, cause. That allows us to really dive into the reliability engineering piece and conduct a Weibull analysis and reliability growth analysis and all those other great tools we have. Once we have all that information, that brings us to our seventh step. And that's feedback is used to improve the existing work plans and the maintenance plan scheduling process. So we're going to take that feedback. We're going to update the job plan for future use. We're also going to take that feedback and look to eliminate those barriers to high wrench time. Was there excess travel? Did we forget parts? Was the equipment not locked out and cleared out when we got to the job? And so on and so forth. Those are the things we're going to look at. We're also going to utilize that feedback to improve our spare parts strategy. That's important because spare parts are a tremendous burden on an organization when not managed properly. Huge amounts of money are tied up in parts that are typically going to be obsolete and never used. Also, the feedback can be used to drive defect elimination. And that's a reliability engineering program. The feedback might also be used to initiate root cause analysis. If we can't determine the failure mode and we need to deep dive that to understand what's going on, we might do that, use a basic 5Y, might use a fault tree analysis or one of the many other tools available to us. Lastly, you're going to use that feedback to optimize the PM routines. Think of the 1-6 rule. If you're not finding something wrong with a piece of equipment at least once out of every 6 times a PM is completed, we need to look at that PM. Are we looking at the right things? Are we looking at it properly? Those are the things we need to ask our questions, because if we're not finding something wrong 1 out of every 6 times, that PM's not very effective. So there you have it. The 7 steps of the work management process, which is vitally important to implementing and sustaining your plan and scheduling program. So in review, the maintenance plan and scheduling process can be broken down into 7 unique steps. The first one, work is identified and evaluated. 2, work is prioritized using those high-level buckets and a repeatable methodology. 3, work is planned. You're going to develop those job plans as discussed in a previous episode. 4, work is placed in a backlog. And you're going to ensure that the work orders in the backlog are managed accordingly so they don't become overdue and age within that backlog and they're executed when they should be. 5, you're going to schedule the work. 6, you're going to execute that work. You're going to document what you found, what you did, and you're going to close out that work. And 7, you're going to utilize that feedback to improve job plans and the existing process. When implementing a maintenance plan scheduling program, it is critical to have a defined process in place. This ensures that the work is managed appropriately, resulting in the most completed work for the business. Next week, we'll be diving deeper into the 5 levels of maintenance scheduling. Don't miss out on how you can improve your scheduling process.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.